Hi everyone, today we are reading John chapter 12, verses 37 through 43. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Now, as a quick recap, I think it's important to recognize the context here. What we read in the previous passage on Friday is that Jesus is teaching and he's talking with people. And what happens in verses 28 and 29 is that Jesus is talking and then he says, Father, glorify your name. It's kind of like a prayer that he says out loud for the whole crowd to hear. And then it says, a voice came from heaven saying, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And we're told in verse 29 that the crowd heard that. They heard the voice from heaven, and they heard that it was like a thunder. And others said an angel has spoken to him. And so literally there's a voice, a sound from heaven as Jesus speaks. And to that, you would think the reaction would be, whoa, Jesus is the one. Right? We should follow him. He's the king. He's the Messiah. He is the one we've been waiting for. But what's the actual response? That's what we get in this passage. It says that though he had done so many signs before, though they heard a voice from heaven, they still did not believe in him. They don't believe. You would think that a voice from heaven will solve everything, but they don't believe. And in this passage, we're told why. Why do they not believe? It says that they don't believe so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. That's what verse 38 tells us. And this is where it gets a bit interesting. So John here cites two passages from Isaiah. I think the second one is a little clearer for us to understand, so I'll just focus on that. But in verse 40 here, he quotes from Isaiah that he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. This is what God has done. They did not believe because God hardened their hearts. And this is a fulfillment of the prophecy. That's what's happening here. God blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts, so that these people who are witnessing Jesus, even hearing a sound from heaven, a voice of heaven, they didn't believe in him because God had hardened their hearts. And this is where it gets kind of tricky then. We start bringing up questions about human responsibility, our agency, God's sovereignty, those kind of things. Now, before we touch on that subject, we should recognize one purpose, though, for the hardening of their hearts. And that is that if all the crowds there believed in Jesus at this point, Jesus would not have been able to fulfill his mission of going to the cross. And so as many of us know already, Jesus didn't come to start a political revolution. And if all these people believe, they may have tried to start an insurrection and start a political revolution. And so in a sense, it was better for the people to not believe in Jesus at this point. But then that leads to those questions of God's sovereignty versus our human responsibility. Like, do we get to choose God or does he choose us? And if God hardens our hearts, can that be our fault? Like, how does that all work? And I'm not going to at least give a full teaching on election, predestination, those kind of things. But we do learn some things about these topics from this passage. First thing I want to point out is that, yes, God can harden hearts. And maybe he does harden hearts still, and that does not feel fair. In the very least, it might not feel fair in this passage. And I think it's fine to feel that way. It might never seem fair to us. But the second thing I want to point out is what we discover in this passage is something. In verses 42 and 43, it says that many of the people, even the authorities, it says, believed in Jesus. But because of fear of what the Pharisees would say or do to them, they didn't confess it. And what John says in verse 43 is that it's because they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. That's what it is. Right? In a sense, it's fair to hold them responsible because these people, even though they knew, or at least in their hearts somewhere, they understood the sovereignty, the greatness of Jesus, They loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. And so in a sense, it still is their fault. Right? They knew. They're responsible because they knew of the glory of God shown through Jesus. But at the same time, as we understand this in the bigger picture, it's only God who can open the eyes of our hearts. It's only God who can soften hearts. It is a spiritual matter, not just a matter of belief or argument or logic or whatever. Now, with those things, it might not seem fair still, right? But what it does take us to, what this leads us to, in a sense, logically, it leads us to one takeaway, is that only God can open hearts. And so with that, for us then, today, we have to turn to God for salvation. For ourselves, for our own hearts, we need to turn to God. But especially for others, for that salvation of our friends, or our family members, our neighbors, we have to turn to God. It's not dependent on our arguing or our stories or our testimonies. It's dependent on the spiritual battle for people's hearts. We have to trust God. We have to turn to God and appeal to Him. Will He open hearts or not? We don't know. That's not up to us, because only God is God. But God, we know, wants us to pray. He wants us to turn to Him, and He still wants us to witness and to give arguments and logic and share testimonies, all those sort of things as well. One thing I want to note that's, I think, helpful to think about in context here is that we're told in the book of Acts, one, there are Pharisees who come to know Jesus. And the best example of that actually would be the Apostle Paul. In Acts 6:7, we're told that the word of God continued to increase, and that the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Maybe some of those priests were in that crowd that day. Maybe these are some of the Pharisees. Maybe these are some of the crowd. These are some of the people who love the glory that comes from men more than the glory from God. Maybe that's who some of these people are in the book of Acts. One thing we need to recognize is that God has His own timeline. God has His own plan. Only God is in control and sovereign. And while things might not seem fair to us, and they may never seem fair to us, but we still surrender, because God is God. He is sovereign. He's in control. And where we are, we should recognize that God is good, and that He has chosen us, and that He loves us. Let's praise Him for that. Let's pray that He'll continue to open hearts. Jesus, we thank You that You have called us by name to You, that You died for us upon a cross, and that You desire a relationship with us, Lord. And I pray for all of us here, that in spite of what we feel like is fair or not fair, that we will turn to You, Jesus, and know the greatness of Your love, and know that that You have chosen us and that You have loved us. And we pray over our friends, our family members, our neighbors, that You'll open their hearts as well. We know it's important to love our neighbors, to share the good news with them, to bless them, to bake cookies for them, all those kind of things. But in the end, we know that it depends on prayer. It depends on You opening their hearts, and You want us to join in and be a part of that. So we pray for that opening of hearts, for eyes to be open. Use us, God. Use our prayers. Open hearts. Bring transformation and change around us, God. We love You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.